You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round 5 of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by Yellow Cards, because if you didn't get one in round 4, were you really there? Actually brought to you by the amazing MLS Fantasy Insider Patreon community. It's for you, because of you, that we are able to continue to do this podcast, and I thank you so much. For your participation in this project. If you want to learn more about our Patreon, head over to patreon.com/MLSFI and find out how you can help support this project right here. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com, and tonight I'm joined by my partner in fantasy, Ashley Savage. I'd also like to welcome our special guest and a familiar voice, Matt Wojo Wotesco from the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord, one of our top players right there. How are you all doing tonight?
I'm great. Happy to be back. Missed last week.
Yeah, doing excellent. Thank you for having me.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Matt, how much did I butcher your name?
No, that was perfect.
Yes.
Oh, look at you.
So rarely get feedback like that on this podcast.
Good job, Reed.
Yeah. I mean, I know for a lot of people, it must annoy you that names are not butchered correctly. And I know that I get that. I totally understand that. But it's just like tradition at this point that we're not going to look it up. We're just going to kind of stumble through it and figure it out as we go along. It's just kind of part of the general charm.
When Reed says it correctly, I think a lot of us find that unsettling.
I know some things here and there, and I listen to the games. I mean, it is what it is, but it is. It's kind of a running joke at this point. So if that kind of thing bothers you, I'm sorry, but it is just kind of part of the thing, part of the show right now.
It's all good.
So this is your second time with us, Matt. Is that right?
It is, yeah.
That's right. So you're able to join in our 10th year celebration as a returning guest here. I know when Christian mentioned that you want to be back on, I was like, heck yeah. Matt's done very well you're in the Experts League again this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You're back in with us. Done very well there. One of the top scoring players that we have. So excited to have you here tonight to share your advice, especially after a really difficult and confusing round. So these things do happen. We'll definitely get to this. If you're in chat, go ahead and share how you did. But I want to start the top of the show with a discussion topic, with a disclaimer or whatever you might want to call this. Ashley, Matt, feel free to add anything on at the end here. But this is going to be a quick pause for Reed to just, I don't know. It's not really a rant. It's just to recap some previous information that was very hot topic.
It's a mini rant. I want to adjust your preface. It's a mini rant. However, it seems to be an FAQ. And I think, you know, we definitely touched on this. I think round 2 preview.
Yep.
But I think it's worth the mini rant. So
So we're going to talk about the change to clean sheet scoring. And that's not just how many points you're getting. I mean, getting credit for a clean sheet. So the change to how a player earns credit for a clean sheet or earns a clean sheet in general. As we first mentioned, as Ashley reminded, in round two episode, players no longer keep their clean sheet bonus points if they leave the game before a goal is conceded by their team. So in MLS of antiquity, we have called this the Madronda because that was one of the first instances where it happened many years ago. In current time, the player who started all of their kerfuffle this week was Alex Roldan, who left the game for Seattle while they had not conceded. And then in the 88th minute, conceded off of the free kick. And Alex Roldan lost his clean sheet bonus points. And that sent everyone on Twitter into a flutter because in the past, that had not been how it worked. He would have kept his points since the goal had been conceded previously. And so I interacted with some people online as to why this happened. We mentioned this before, and so I thought it would be a good idea to just mention it again now that it's much more clear in our minds that this is what happened. So I don't know the exact reason for the change. Let me just be straight up about this. I am not involved in the scoring. I am not involved in the changes, as good friend Ryan of the show so very nicely pointed out on Twitter. However, we do have connections that have helped us get some information, though at this point it's all public knowledge because it's all out there. And so we've been able to just piece together what I think makes sense happened from that. So what do we know and what's led to the educated guess? One, in 2023, MLS changed its stat provider. And that's what we were able to confirm through the people that we know who work at MLS, that yes, this stat provider is providing stats for the fantasy game. So that's all that we, I don't know if that's even how public that is. It's not secret, but yes, this is the company that is now providing stats for the MLS game. And it's Sport Tech Solutions. It's all over the web back at the time. So Sport Tech Solutions in 2023 started providing stats for MLS. Previously, it had been Opta. We all know Opta. Sport Tech Solutions is not a new company. It's the same stat provider used by the Bundesliga and the Bundesliga fantasy game and several others, I'm sure, out there. But that's all that's important for this conversation. So previously, I had been able to go online, and we have in the past, to figure out some of how these scoring definitions work. And we could find the definition that Opta has for an event. Now, when I looked for Sport Tech Solutions, I've not found where they publicly publish what their definitions are for their events. If someone does, I would love to see it, but they don't publish that. However, when you look into the FAQ of the Bundesliga fantasy game, they do have a definition in their game for what a clean sheet is and how it's defined. And it's defined like this. A clean sheet points will only be awarded to a player if the following two conditions are met. One, their team doesn't concede a goal in the entire match. Their team doesn't concede a goal in their entire match. And two, the player plays more than 61 minutes in the match, which that's similar for us. And while this is not a public definition for Sport Tech, I think this has to be it. Because if you look at the Opta definition, it says a player or team who does not concede a goal for the full match. And with this Opta definition, it definitely gives you the ability to see, yeah, that could be a player or a team. And so if a player comes out, I can see how that definition allows that player to keep the clean sheet because it's a player or a team and they don't concede. But with what I believe to be the Sport Tech Solutions definition, where the first condition is their team doesn't concede, it takes the individual player out of it completely and makes it much more of a team condition. So MLS Fantasy is provided by a third-party provider. It's not run by the company. And we do know that that provider gets stats from MLS. It even says so in the terms and conditions that stats come from MLS and they're not liable for any kind of difference there. That's the final authority, is the stats they get from MLS. And so with the way the mapping works that we've discussed previously with some other stats that are no longer in the game, clean sheets is likely a one-to-one mapping that was happening. This is the new clean sheet data. It spits out the clean sheet data to the fantasy game. And it's just that overall, a general system-driven function that nobody necessarily thought to take a look at changed what the definition is. So clean sheets are still being spit to the stat server. The fantasy game is still pulling a clean sheet stat. It's just the company who keeps the clean sheet stat is no longer defining it the same way that Opta did. So I would imagine this was an unintended and an unknown, unrealized change going into this season. Could it have been intentional? Maybe. I don't know. I would have thought if it was intentional, we might have actually gotten some update about this. I think it was unintended. Would we have liked to have seen a better definition of what this was? Absolutely. I mean, something like what's in the Bundesliga game, I think would have been fantastic had it been in our rule set or our information set there. But that's what makes me think that it just wasn't realized that sort of trickle down impact was going to come to the fantasy game. So at the end of the day, this is how the game is working. Clean sheets aren't being carried over by players who subbed out. And that's why so many of us are focused on clean sheet hunting with low cost defenders from teams we think have a good shot, because it's very different. We'll get into some of that. I know I have a comment about that coming up, but that's just the early FAQ answer that I wanted to put out there about what we know about this. And again, we brought it to you in round two. We're bringing it to you again. Happy to cover it again, but this information is out there. We are not trying to hide it. And if you know people who are confused, please direct them to this podcast or just direct them to our community. Matt, Ashley, anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, I just want to, like you said, we obviously have nothing to do with it, but to a certain extent, I don't want anyone to also like at Skylar. You know, the rule has changed. It would be impossible to correct for this season. We've oftentimes seen Fantasy MLS change something back the next season. So once we get more information about it, it's not that it will stay like that forever, but I think we need to get used to it. It's something that you shouldn't be getting mad about at this point, I think. But you know, for me, it sucks. I'm pretty pissed about it, but I accepted it week one, if that makes sense. Because I think there's something fun about that, right? Like, it's kind of like, you know, getting a scratch ticket and then just winning another scratch ticket. Like, it's just, there's something rewarding to know that your guy got a clean sheet when everybody else didn't. And so, you know, I'm bummed about it, but I think we just kind of gotta get over it at this point.
I think it's a quick word, like a minimal change. I don't think it's a major change. It is from the standpoint that we're used to it, but from, if you're looking at the rules of scoring and things like that, I mean, Skylar was one of the ones that told me, he was like, if they're not getting a clean sheet, if their team's not getting a clean sheet, then they don't even need to get a clean sheet. So that was kind of some of the rationale behind it. And I do get that. We're used to it, but I mean, I'm not super surprised that it wasn't really clarified, because a lot of the stuff, I mean, we could go round and round about a lot of the stuff that wasn't clarified earlier, or before the season. But I mean, honestly, it is what it is. And the rules, and like you said, Ashley, it's not changing. So yeah. let's move on, y'all. And let's play. Move on and play.
Yep.
That's right. I'll mourn the Madronda, but I'll also celebrate the loss of second assist. So we all have our preferences. That's right. Mourn the Madronda. It is what it is. So I hope everyone understands a little bit better with that. And again, happy to answer any questions that people have on Twitter or interact, but please do remember, yes, like all of us, we have some friends who can help us get some information that we're very thankful to have as friends of the show, but we are not part of MLS. We are not affiliated with MLS. We don't make these decisions. Occasionally we have been consulted to kind of help vet some player decisions for what their positions are, but not in the past couple of seasons. I mean, it's just a community thing here. So we are not involved in official rulings or changes to this game. So don't add us if you think we can change it, but we are happy to join you in your sorrow or your ranting with that. Sure. But it's not us. It's not us. All right. Quick FAQ aside, let's jump into our recap of round four, starting with you, Bojo.
All righty. I ended up with a 73, which from what I can tell is probably a pretty average score. Total values up to 116 and some change. I'll be honest, I haven't been like trying to build my budget. I don't tend to play that way. I do use it as like a tiebreaker on players and things like that. I will keep that in consideration as to, you know, what type of players I choose, and may likely go for those that are going to get a rise, but I haven't been super focused on it. Overall, sitting at 55, my goal is to get into the Champions League first time. So just sitting right outside that, I'm kind of feeling okay about where I am. A little behind last year, but I think I peaked a little too early last year, Reed. And so trying to play a little steadier. And, you know, if we can hit that Champions League this first go-around qualification, I'll be happy.
I like that. I like that using as a tiebreaker approach. Yeah, I like that a lot.
So some of the players that impressed, I know, Ashley, you had a couple of these, so I'm not going to go through all of them. But, man, I caught a couple of the games on Sunday. I caught the New England game and the Atlanta game. And, man, Yakumakis, that guy, he wants the golden boot. He wants it bad, and he looks like he's fiery, which is good and bad, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I mean, he's a goal scorer, and he's going to be near the top throughout the season, especially if he can keep getting service. So he was one of the first ones that really stood out. Man, the Galaxy attack, it is. I mean, I know people say that, you know, having the LA teams good are good for the league, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think, man, the Galaxy have been pretty bad for the past few years, pretty rough. And so it's actually really fun to see the Puj, Ansel, was it Jovalich?
Yeah.
And their, I mean, the speed, the passing, and they're just scoring for fun. And so I'd love to see them keep that up. It's again, it's nice having another team that you can pull from for, especially for fantasy purposes. Well, I mean, Luis Suarez, still kicking it at 37. I mean, he didn't look like he was moving real great, but obviously it doesn't take much for him to, you know, put a couple of goals in. And I want to shout out to Campana as well. Yeah. I had a feeling about him, because I knew he was going to be starting, and obviously didn't go with it, but should have. I think they were away. I don't usually choose away strikers. So, but I mean, props to Miami, minus Messi, they still did it, and looked great doing it, from what I can tell. Also want to give some quick props to Minnesota and Montreal, who are, I mean, Minnesota just got their coach this week, right? actually full-time got him in, and no Reynoso. Had some injury, like tons of just injury problems. And so, I mean, props to them for sitting in first right now. And then Montreal, who everybody thought was going to be a doormat, have really just shown us who they are. And so I got to give them some props on that. Some quick thoughts that I had. Should Lucho be in your team every week? I mean, he is perfect for this new scoring system. It is, yes, exactly. He is tailor-made for the scoring system, and the number of key passes that he gets and the fact that he shoots so much, it's just like, I don't know that I will be without him very often. Is it time to say that Columbus's defense is legit again? Obviously I think they've had three straight clean sheets. I don't know if it's the structure that they have going on or some new personnel in the defense there. But Nancy's doing a great job. We knew they had the great attack, but, you know, is their defense legit again? And so I'm excited to see what that looks like. Should we be shifting our thinking back to captaining forward, right? It's always been about, you know, let's you captain midfielders. They're more consistent. The bonus points, now that the bonus points have changed, we're starting to see some of, it may be time to start shifting our thinking back to, you know, are these forwards more viable as a captain option? Because, I mean, if you captained Yakumakis, you know, last week, you were sitting pretty. And so that was one thing that came up in Discord towards the end of the evening last night was, is it time to start shifting our thinking from solely midfield, where they have more consistent players? Are some of these forwards going to start being more consistent players and be a part of that? And I think that's kind of cool, because it gives it a different vibe, and it gives it a different strategy. And then the last thing, I just want to encourage anybody who got frustrated this week with the midfield. Everybody did. So trust your process. A lot of those guys heal. Well, I don't know if Forsberg was away, but heal, Puj, Almada, those were solid process plays, and so just stick with those plays, and and keep picking them.
Yeah, fun fact, through the first four rounds, the best captain has always been a forward so far.
If you really?
Remember at the Dream Team, yeah, a forward has been the best captain option that you could have had.
Yeah.
Ashley.
Yeah, I got a 73 as well. We tied, even though we didn't play each other. my total value is 118.9, and I want to preface it because I know yet again I'm money bagging scene, but I am also not going for price rise. I do kind of the opposite of what you said, which is when I'm picking my team, if I pick a player that's on a down, I don't pick them. Like I have not picked, I can't think of a player yet, unless it's like, you know, a must own, but I'd have to go back and look, but I will not pick up someone that's on a weekly down, even if I love the matchup. And so that's been like a tiebreaker for me on the other end. And I kind of think that that's why I'm where I am, if that makes sense. Like I'm always factoring in, and I got lucky. Like there were a couple weeks where I only used a keeper scrub, or I only used like one defender scrub, if that makes sense. And so I did go hard the first two, maybe three rounds to play cheaper players like on my bench, but with the intention of still getting points, right? And so I'm happy with my total value at the moment. I think I've just kind of figured out a lock to this system, if that makes sense. I'm sure next year I'll tank, but like, I don't know. Reed made fun of me last year because he was like, oh, well, I'm going for price build, but every week I wasn't, and it would still grow pretty well. So I still think if you've gone up 3 million a week, that's definitely good, like more than good. So yeah, we're still not at the point though with how expensive midfielders and strikers started. Like I'm still tinkering for price. You know what I mean? Like I'm definitely not past that point by any means. I just moved out of the Champions League. I just moved out to 51.
I think you're right in front of me, aren't you?
I'm kind of the opposite of what you were explaining, where I never start hot. I start terrible and I build and build and I get into Champions League in the third round or the fourth round. Every time we've had it, that's the only time I've ever gotten in. I don't do well keeping pace. I do well catching up. So this is a weird place for me to be in. I still lost half my head-to-heads this week. I lost my MLS host invitational first place. I gave it over to you. That's fine. Congratulations.
I'll keep it warm for you.
Thank you so much. Midfielders especially, I totally agree with what you were talking about, where we've always come to rely on them. And yeah, well, you know, Heal will pop a, you know, a bad round with a three or something every so often, right? But to have everyone basically that were chalk picks for midfield not do well, I don't remember the last time I've seen that. I'm sure someone way more data-driven than me can tell me. But I can't remember the last time I had Heal, Puj, Almada, you know, I didn't pick up Lucho because he wasn't starting, but like all of these midfielders just do nothing. And so that was really frustrating for me. So, you know, I'm done with it at this point, but generally I think everyone did not do great, if that makes sense. Like obviously someone did. But generally, like you said, 73, I feel okay. I'm just frustrated with how some stuff worked out. Some players who impressed me, I'm just going to echo the Gigi. Last year, he was kind of like hit or miss for me. I would try to get on when I thought he would hit, but there were so many games where he would miss, and he almost did. I literally had the game on and were leaving in the second half, and I said to my husband, Gigi's about to do the thing I always said never happens, which is you don't follow up a hat trick with a hat trick. Like if I had a tagline under my face for this show, I kind of think Reed would you not say, I think that would be it. You never follow up a hat trick with a hat trick, but that man got a brace after a hat trick. And so I think that, you know, he was this close to being the exception. But yeah, he's just looking great. But I also wanted to re-bring up, if you will, Cucho. Kucho's also still hitting. He had a goal and assist this week. He's producing. And so, you know, I think that that is definitely important to follow. I know he's on the road again this week. And there's a little bit. Sorry, Tyler, always correcting me. Giakoumakis did not have two goals. He had a goal and an assist. The point production is still there, is my point. But Kucho is definitely someone I think should be on your team most weeks. I'm pretty there to say every week he's definitely in my team again this week, but he is just really benefiting from these point productions, and he is contributing very well. Another close personal friend of the show via me, Brooks Lennon, coming in well this week. Obviously, the shutout helped, but Brooks is a guy. Do you know this story, Matt?
No.
Can I do a mini tangent read?
Sure.
Like you're my dad, I have to ask permission. As for some reason, at the end of a Sounders game last year, in the stands, talking to someone as we were walking out, and I recognized him immediately and apologized for interrupting and asked if he would take a picture for me because I host an MLS fantasy podcast, and he, whether he knew it or not, is an exceptionally talented MLS fantasy player. And he and the guy laughed, and I took a picture with him and then immediately sent it to Reed and Blaine and talked about it for however long it's been since now. He was lovely.
That's amazing.
It was nice to see him getting on the assist. That as we get into this new era of defenders, not like the Madronda was ever really what any of us were picking defenders up for, it's nice to know that some of these defenders are staying consistent with assists, bonus points, those things as we continue to just try to clean sheet hunt. So it was nice that Atlanta did get the clean sheet, but Brooks impressed me with the 12 this week for sure. And then I agree. I think that Lucho should be in your team every week, if at the very least on the bench, with hopefully an option to tinker too if he's not starting. But after this week, if he's not starting, do you still bench him? Because I think there's some time to see there. But and lastly, for me, Santi Rodriguez for NYCFC is someone that I have personally been kind of on the fence about. His name's come up on the podcast this season for sure, but he seems to be gaining some consistency. I don't know about NYCFC still. They're still a team that I can't quite get a good read on, and they've definitely had some good fantasy moments, and they've definitely had some average fantasy moments for this year so far, but he is someone that I'm starting to pay attention to matchup dependency. So he stood out for me this week as well. My only thoughts for this week are there are a lot of big names out, and there are some teams with a lot of people out and some teams with no one out. And I think that looking through this reference, as Reed will get into later in the show, is really important when you're considering who to pick up this week because of the international call-ups.
Yeah, thanks for that shout out. A couple of definitely good reminders right there. For myself, I scored 66 points, team value 116.3 now. So I think I went up like maybe almost four or five more. I can't remember exactly where I was. Might have been five million more this round. This was the round where I stopped really kind of paying attention about price rise. For the first three, I guess, first round, I just went in with it. And the rounds two and three, I was trying to ride players who looked like they had price rises. Maybe to a slight detriment to my overall rankings with that, but I was trying to build some of that budget. And so I think if you're in this one teens area, I had a couple of situations with some drafts where I was like 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 off from getting someone. But I think you're in this like 115 area by this point of the season, you're definitely doing very well with your value gain. So I feel pretty happy here. And I think Wojo said something very nice at the beginning of the show that he thought my score was fine, but I came into this thinking that depending on where you were in the rankings, you likely needed to score higher than the 60s. Had needed to score probably at least in the 70s to stay even or make some small gains. I think I had a mixed bag with my head-to-heads with the 66. Again, lost one of them by 1 point, which is always tough. But I think if you scored, maybe the higher 60s is okay, but I think it was really the 70s is where you were kind of shooting for with this kind of mixed bag round to maybe not be disappointed in where you were. I fell some in the overall rankings, but again, depends on where you were in the rankings to begin with for how much impact this is going to have. So if you got 60s and got green arrows, Congrats. Happy for you. Very, very happy for you. Minimal takeaways for me, especially since I had that big FAQ at the beginning. But yeah, echo the Santi Rodriguez comment. Excellent stats for this past round and some previous rounds. His onset play, so that's good. Had several dangerous chances at home there at New York City. And shout out to Eli, who mentioned him during the show last week as well. So I didn't have him. He had 2.0 ownership. So if you did get him last week, congrats. That was a great differential. But I agree with Ashley that coming up at Cincinnati, at Miami, not sure about those matchups. Go home after that too, I believe, sporting Kansas City. Maybe that's a bit more of a tempting one to look back at New York City. Whenever they're at home, always tempting for New York City. The last player I'm going to mention is Evander. Came back, second game playing, some massive bonus points up against Houston. And it really has me scratching my head about what I think about him, because that's, we don't have a lot of games to compare that to. But again, those bonus points, really, really appealing. And it may be that I'm keying in on who might be my Barrios going forward. So at least for this year. So we'll find out. A couple of thoughts that I did want to share as well. Echoing what Wojo had said about LA Galaxy, nice to see them scoring, but we're getting into some of that situation now of who do I go with? Am I going with one of the midfielders? Am I going with the forward? Am I going to go with all three? So that's just one thought as we see those players that traditionally what we've called kind of that Houston effect of like multiple players can score. Who am I going to go with? It's going to be part of that decision-making process each week. Then finally, wrapping up my thoughts with the defenders, only four clean sheets in round four. And so very tough for clean sheet hunting. I mentioned that all the changes, defender bonus points and defender scoring has made clean sheet hunting pretty much the priority or the main focus of how we're picking defenders. If you look through who had the highest scores, it was obviously the players from those clean sheet teams who had the highest points. But there were a few others dusted in there, and those are the ones who got goals as well, which is not something you can predict, but it's the reason why I have gone back to favoring more center backs than I have my wing backs, because I'm with the wing backs, I'm hoping for those assists, hoping for some of those attacking points. My center backs become a bit more targets for those set plays with maybe an increased chance of getting a goal. So that's my personal preference with center backs right now, but definitely an impact that we're seeing due to the changes in bonus points. All right. Thank you guys so much for the recap. Thank you everyone for sharing your scores. We're going to get into our abbreviated housekeeping section for round five coming up right after this. Hello and welcome back to our housekeeping section for round five. Skipping over the leagues again, I know still a lot of people just tied. And so we're going to wait until we get a bit more difference there before starting to call out the names again. But very competitive, very excited to see everyone playing. I hope you're enjoying Pro Rail League as always. So for round five, the start time is Saturday, March 23rd at 2 o'clock p.m. with New England versus Chicago and New York Red Bulls versus Miami. Of course, we then have our normal Apple TV schedule right there with our 2 o'clock games, a bunch of 7:30 games, some 8:30s and some 10:30s. Actually, not a bad round for setting up your ruse. Everyone plays on Saturday, so there's no Sunday games this week, but you'll want to keep track of the lineups, but there are definitely some good targets, I think, that you can have for your auto ruse or your switcheroos, even with this setup because of how all the games line up. Unfortunately, there are no teams in a double game week, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at that, but we do have three teams on a bye week this round, which is going to make activating those switcheroos very, very easy. So Dallas, Minnesota, and Montreal all have a bye this week, and you will have plenty of 4.0 players to choose from if you need to expand your budget right there. This is a call-up round. We will be going over call-ups very soon, courtesy of the Mega Reference and everyone who helps curate that. This is the CONCACAF Nations League going on for us and other leagues going on for others with International Call-Up Week. So on the 21st, March 21st, United States plays Jamaica and Panama plays Mexico. And then during our game week, On the 23rd, Canada plays Trinidad and Tobago, and then Costa Rica plays Honduras. So those are what's going on with CONCACAF at that time, with those players gone. Of course, other leagues are also playing. And I'll jump into that right now, talking about our suspensions and injuries. But want to do a quick shout out, because I know, Ashley, you have some thoughts about this. Part of what we'll talk about are some of the discipline report that's going on. There were a crazy amount of cards issued during this round. And it just seemed crazy to me. Maybe this is not quite as far off of the norm, but there were 82-ish yellow cards issued in this last round. Five or six red cards, and at least one situation of a yellow to a red from getting two yellows. So this was, I mean, there were almost 90 cards issued during this round, and it was bonkers. And you had some thoughts, Ashley?
As of my bud Jordan Nakamura sent me this stat as well. As of last week, the referees were averaging one VAR per game, when the average from last year was one VAR every three games.
Excuse me.
That's obscene. And just to add on to the cards, I mean, listen, at this point, paying attention to who's on yellow card. I mean, are we already at that point? Like, are we at yellow card warning watch yet? Are we? I mean, we're gonna catch it sooner than we ever have before.
I mean, it's for some.
Yeah, it's definitely something to pay attention to. Have they gotten one in the previous weeks? And if they have, then I think you have to expect that this is probably going to continue. So there's no indications that MLS is going to pay anytime soon. So I think we're here. I really appreciated the chants coming out of Columbus, I saw. And then there was someplace else as well. I mean, I heard a lot of great commentary towards the referee in Seattle, but I won't repeat it here. And I think, you know, you just need to expect a yellow card or two here or there. And I think paying attention to players who've gotten some consistently already is a good indicator for that.
Yeah, and there are a lot of players who are out on call-ups. So I definitely encourage you to head over to the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord channel, go down to the fantasy resources, the fantasy tools section, and check on the mega reference right there, because there are a lot of players. We'll mention a few of them tonight, but please do go and check out. So starting with Atlanta, we have six players who are out headlining: Almada, Giacomakis, and Wiley. Some are all out this week. Austin has two players out: Cascante, probably the biggest name right there. Chicago has a couple of out. Shaqiri, definitely a big miss right there. Cincinnati has Robinson, his one player out. Chicago has two. Cincinnati only has one player out, and that is Robinson. Colorado is missing two players, but you're probably not looking at Colorado. Sorry, Matt. Columbus has five players out there, including their starting goalkeeper. And that has been something that I was looking at very closely with these call-ups, is if the starting goalkeeper was out. While that does give you a good opportunity for a keeperoo, maybe some extra little value gains right there, a risk in my mind for losing fantasy points instead of that gain. So I've been very aware of who had a starting keeper out. A couple of players out for Charlotte, not super impactful. Four players out for DCU, including Herrera. Two players out for Dallas, Frazier and Norris. Houston is missing two players as well, including Valdez. Nobody out for LA Galaxy, so good there. LAFC is missing two players, Campos and Ordaz. Campos, a big one we'll talk about coming up. Miami is missing four players, with Calendar, Gomez, Redondo, and Ruiz. Also, of course, dealing with the Messi injury right there to keep an eye on. Minnesota is missing five players, Boxall, Laud, Pukki, Rosales, and St. Clair. So another starting keeper right there. Montreal is not playing this round, so they're absolutely, Minnesota's also not playing, so not a big one to keep up with. But those players are playing international, so keep an eye on them for potential injuries right there. Montreal, Piet, Waterman, Sirio, Chionnaire are all missing right there. Campbell, Nashville, Godoy, and Schaffelberg are both missing, so two players there. The Revolution missing three players. New York City is missing three players as well. New York Red Bulls missing six players, including Cornell, starting goalkeeper, Forsberg, and Tolkien. So some key absences right there. Orlando is missing six players as well, including Galese and Maguire. And now Torres has been added. So Tyler, updating the mega reference as we go. So seven players out for Orlando, including Torres. Philadelphia missing seven, eight players, including Blake, starting keeper, Gosdag, Lowe, Martinez. So a lot of absences there. Portland missing three, including Miller and Kripo. Again, another keeper. RSL missing two players, including Luna. San Jose Earthquakes missing four players, including Ocha. Seattle, nobody. Good job, Ashley. We made it through there. Sporting Kansas City is missing one. Vargas, St. Louis, nobody. Good job, guys. Toronto is missing Flores, and Vancouver missing two players, including Picolet. So I know there's a lot just ran through it to try to give some of the highlights. Head over to the Mega Reference to check out not just the call-ups by team. You can check out the call-ups by country. You can check out the call-ups by federation. So it's all split right there. And of course, we'll wrap up with a quick mention about the injuries and suspensions as we teased a second ago. Notable returns, we have Rodriguez for DCU, makes a return after a long recovery from an ACL. DeRussi and Rusnak returned as subs last week for Austin and Seattle. And then Reynoso makes his first appearance in that game, but again, on a bye this week. So, but good to see him back for that production. No one on yellow card suspension yet. No big names on yellow card watch, but we are definitely working towards that number quicker than usual. We do have some players who are out on red card suspensions, though. So some of the notable names there, Raheem Edwards, Pedro Santos. There we go. Got those. Probably the biggest names right there. But we also have Josh Atencio. We have Daniel Edelman, we have Keaton Parks, and we have Martin Caceres. So those are the six players who are out because of the crazy number of cards that we got in this last week. Injuries, Vargas is out with a lower leg injury. Capetti is out with hamstring. Messi, of course, has his calf injury. Kolmanek is out with a hamstring injury. And JFR has a non-contact injury, whatever that means. And then Lowen is out for 2 weeks as well. So a few key names who are on injuries, many key names out on call-ups this week. And that is just going to make the hashtag because MLS effect even more so for this round. So some of these players who were scoring this last round who you've never heard of might be players to look at again who might have opportunities to score, because this is going to be one of those bananas rounds where you're going to want to definitely buckle up, because we're going to be in for a wild ride. Matt, Ashley, anything else you want to add before we move on to our player picks?
Just lineups. Make sure you're paying attention. I think this is going to be one of those weeks where I think a tinker could be a good thing, if that makes sense. Like, if you're still looking to price rise, there's going to be players that are playing that will be good bench spots, right? Some 4.0 defenders, some cheaper midfielders if you're trying to save money and go a little more expensive or chalkier with your starters. I think that this is a week to look for that. But I also hesitate to say avoid the, oh, that team's got no one tinker, because that almost always ends in madness. But I think there's some great benefits to be had financially for some of the people that are gone. But just keeping in mind who is good and still here, if that makes sense. So
I was just going to say, the opportunity to get some cheaper players in to maybe enable some of the more expensive players if you're still dealing with budget issues. Or, I mean, like you said, Ashley, we're not all quite at that point where we can just pick whoever we want. And so I think some of these bench guys that are getting starts over this weekend will be helpful in a lot of circumstances.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for sharing that. And we, of course, will be coming up with who we do think is worth taking a look at for round five right after this. Hello and welcome back to our final segment where we're talking about the players who we are targeting going into round five, starting out as always with keepers and defenders. Matt, who do you like?
Man, targeting using a lot of doing a lot of heavy lifting in these scenarios here, Reed. Ashley, you were touching on, actually both of you, you were talking about some of the international call-ups, and as I was looking through the matchups, I'm like, ooh, that'd be a great matchup. Oh no, so-and-so's going to be gone. Oh, that'd be a great matchup. Oh no, they're not going to have any of their defense, you know. So it was quite challenging. Because of the new scoring system, I've just been going cheap AF, man, on keepers. Trying to choose maybe a home keeper with a decent matchup. And then, you know, since we have several cheaper ones this week, I try to run a keeper if I can. I was able to the last couple of weeks, but it's not always possible depending on, you know, your budget. And so some of the thoughts I had were for keeper, you know, I actually thought about the Miami backup keeper. I believe, I mean, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but is that DeSantos? Is he the backup keeper? Or is, it doesn't matter because he's five and the other guy's four. So that's even better. So I just think Miami's good. You know, I think they'll show up. I don't like any of the earlier games for clean sheets, really. But if you want to run a keeper route with the current Apple TV schedule, you probably either have to go with an early game and then like a 7:30 game, or you go with a 7:30 game on your bench and then you go with one of the later ones. And I honestly don't love the later ones either for clean sheets. So a couple of the thoughts I had were take like maybe like the Miami keeper and then roll that into the Toronto keeper, Gavron, or somebody like Bush from Columbus. I really do like Columbus's defense, even if it's away. It makes me a little nervous with them being on the road, but God, they've been so solid. But do they get a fourth in a row? You know, four clean sheets in a row is tough. And so what are the odds there? And so, but he's five, so pretty cheap. I don't know how Atlanta's going to score. I mean, I'm a fan, but without Almada, without Yakumakis, I just, Saba and Silva on the wings they're solid players, but they're just not the same caliber. I don't know who's going to back him up. They still got Lennon, but he can only do so much from right back. And so anyway, all that to say, I really, you know, I feel solid about Toronto. I think Toronto Atlanta is going to be a tight game anyway. I think it would be even with Almada and Yakumakis, but without them, I think Toronto defense, who have been surprisingly good, could be good options. Either, you know, for a bench play rolling into a late one. I'm not sure who I like in the late games. I'm a fan of Houston's defense too. They're away, so that's not always the best either. But they got the clean sheet last week, and they're solid. LAFC could do it. I don't know. So I mean, there's a bunch of cheap ones later. You have, I think we were just now talking about Pantamis from Portland. You could go with a late keeper, or I even wrote down who's the backup Union keeper. He's super cheap.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, away, but I don't like any, the home matchups aren't any better than the away matchups in my mind to this week. And so just go cheap, just take some punts on some, again, the Toronto game is a fairly cheap home guy, home keeper, and then build something around it and just guess. I don't know. That's the best I got. I threw out some of the teams that I like for defenders too. Again, I'm just taking cheap defenders as well. I'm not really, I mean, aside from Lennon last week, I'm not really, I don't love a lot of even the attacking defenders are expensive. Gressel's too expensive. Alba's too expensive for me. I'm just cheap. with the defenders lately, and yeah. and I just don't think I don't think the ROI is there for the points. Honestly, you're not getting interceptions. You're not getting clear. You might be getting. Are you getting clearances still? You're not getting interceptions. You're not getting blocks. I can't remember what it is, but you get the idea. You're not getting as many of the categories as you used to. So you're not getting the floor that you would. Where you're clean sheet hunting with cheap guys. So Toronto, Columbus. Cincinnati, I do like Cincinnati. A lot of the guys are a little more expensive, but if Keller starts, he might be a nice one. Yeah. Some of the Cincinnati players. I'd love to have Celentano, but I just don't think, I don't think I'm going to pay seven for a keeper. So that's kind of where I am. I know that's super, super vague as far as player picks, but don't spend that much time on your defense, y'all. Build your attack, build your forward, and fill in that defense with just some cheap stacks or something like that.
Ashley.
Yeah, I like everything that Matt said, and I have one small exception, which is, and it, I'm going to preface this by saying that it didn't pan out, but with Messi out, Gressel was playing as a striker, like as a winger, striker, front three player. And again, there wasn't point production from it this week. But if he's there again, that is a player that I will tinker into my lineup because I think I'm paying a defender price for a midfielder. I mean, I'm kind of paying a midfielder price for a defender, if that makes sense. But that's definitely someone I'm considering. I really enjoyed your breakdown, Matt. I'm going to throw some numbers at some of these games too. The backup Miami keeper is 5. The backup Revolution keeper is 5. Those are 2 early kickoff games if you're going for a keeperoo. And the reason I'm kind of pushing that is if you're still trying to price rise, having 2 keepers play will help you do that unless your bench points hit like crazy, if that makes sense, right? So I think this is a week where you could definitely get 2 starting keepers in your team for a price rise. But obviously take the points if the bench keeper hits. But the Columbus backup keeper at Charlotte, that's a 5 million keeper. Orlando backup keeper at home against Austin, not a great looking Austin team so far this year. That's a 5.0 keeper. I have Gavron, the Toronto keeper, in my team right now. I agree with you about Atlanta. Atlanta can definitely surprise us. Atlanta's a team I don't often count out, even with the players that they're missing. But Toronto has been sneaky decent at defense this year, which is not something I've said in a really long time. Also, Berkey's staying home for St. Louis, not quite in the same form he was at the end of last season, but they're playing at home against DC. He's expensive, but I think that's a decent shout. And then, like we said, both Portland and Philadelphia in that late game will have backup keepers, both of whom are 4.9, which is incredibly cheap. Philly's missing a lot of players. Portland is obviously missing their keeper, so I think that that's the biggest loss and a defender. But for the rest of it, Portland should be a pretty relatively, at least compared to these past couple weeks, full-strength team. So that's something to consider as well. Just as a note, because I've seen the name floated around because he did stop a PK this week, what I've seen is that Andrew Thomas will not start for Seattle again, that Stephen Fry should be back this week. I don't like that matchup from a Seattle defensive perspective anyways, but do what you want to do. That's where I'm at with keepers. I have Gavron, and then I'm just kind of waiting to decide where I want to go either before or after him, if that makes sense. But I agree, I'm going cheap. I'm going to spend my money other places. I like DeAndre Yedlin. I don't know that he's fully fit into the system yet, but I like him. But I'm considering Keller as a cheaper option if he starts, which I think he will give me a head nod to confirm because Robinson's gone. I think he's the one who fits in there most likely, but we'll see. I'm very happy to not have any midweek games for FC Cincinnati this week so they can get a full week's rest, so I can get a full week's worth of player.
Double-edged sword, Ashley. Double-edged sword.
Okay. I like San Jose defense this week, and I know I get a lot of crap when I go against my home team, but we are not a MLS podcast. We are a fantasy MLS podcast, and the fantasy points come first. I don't get any points for picking Sanders players because I am a diehard Sanders fan, and so San Jose defense hasn't wowed me, but I'm still definitely considering them this week. I'm going back and forth. I've seen Rodriguez mentioned a few times, but currently the best scoring player from the last round, so they're on a price rise, is Costa, who is a 5.2 defender that is so not worth mentioning that he doesn't have a face in my game. But like I said before, that's something that I'm considering when I'm picking a player, right? Rodriguez is on a week down, but Costa is on a rise up from this past week. So that might be a decision maker for me. I also like LAFC in the sense that there's a couple of cheaper options there, but are they cheap because they're bad? Question mark. I think that is a decent matchup. It's something I would have picked last year without really hesitating. But if Nashville have Mukhtar and or Surge back, do I like the matchup as much? So I'm just kind of going to wait and see. But I do like Toronto's defense. Shane O'Neill's been where I've been going lately. I think I might like Portland's defense. They have some cheap people that should start. And then one I'm going to throw out there is that Kyle Smith for Orlando got 2 points last week. He's a 4.0 defender. So that's something. Whenever I see a 4.0 defender, my ears perk up. So that's something that I'm definitely paying attention to.
As they should.
And just so you know, Ashley, Kyle Smith played defensive midfield for Orlando this past week because they were missing. They were missing their defensive midfielders, so he was actually playing the six.
Will they be missing this week?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sure somebody crossed. will let us know though for sure.
Reed, what about you?
So as for me, first I will clarify. We talked about some of the points. It is only clearances that are generating points for defenders right now. Of course, they're getting passes and things like that. But blocks were taken out of the game due to what I believe is a data mapping error. We decided again, episode two. Go check it out. No, don't. If you just want to check, though, just listen to us now. So you guys have covered a lot of who I was looking at. Looking at a cheap keeper room myself. Gavin is who I have in right now. I think that just he's playing a relatively early game. That 7:30 game is a sweet spot because it still gives you plenty of time to react for the 10:30 games. And so we've got LA Portland, San Jose Earthquakes, and I think you've got a couple of good options there. I think if you're flush with Cass, Lloris could be an option. Not 100% necessarily on Nashville scoring chops right now, so potentially could go with him. Though LA is missing some defense. But May also, I've got Daniel penciled in right now. He's at least a veteran keeper at this point. Ashley, how do you feel about Seattle's chances for scoring? Or is that going to be...
They've only scored penalties.
Exactly.
So how do you feel about San Jose's ability to draw a penalty, I guess, is the better question.
I don't want them to give up a penalty.
Let's just put it that way. I will say, I think I did say this to you, Spencer was having problems with his app on his phone, and so I had him set a team on my phone, and I threw Rui Diaz on his bench this week because he was 6.6, and I was like, well, no, why not? Spencer needs the money, and he scored a PK, so I felt really good about that.
That's right.
Didn't benefit from it, but I felt good. I am not putting money on the Seattle Sounders to score a freaking goal. They might get some people back. I think that's another lineup to pay attention to. If you see Rusnak come back or Joao Paulo come back, I think it could be a factor, but I think picking up San Jose defense is a great call.
Right. So that's why right now I've got a keeper roost set up with Gavin and Daniel. It's just an easy switch. Yeah. I mean, you can maybe, I know some people have thrown out Celentano as a game, but I think my issue with Celentano is that there's more value in the field players necessarily than Celentano right there. And more expensive than these two players there. But at this point, for two sub 6 million keepers, I think many people can definitely afford that. But again, we do have some peak keepers who are starting some of the 4.0 range who you could at least just throw on your bench and they're not going to lose you points. And maybe you'll get some kind of value gain off of that. Over with defenders. Same kind of mind right there for me. A Cincinnati player, I'm assuming it might be Keller, like you said, Ashley. He did play the majority of last week's game. He did not, of course, play during CCL, but he did play the majority of last week's game. I would expect him to still be in that starting lineup with Robinson gone. But, of course, for a little bit more, if you want something more offensive-minded, there is Yedlin. I think those are probably the two go-to cheaper picks for Cincinnati, Yedlin being the more expensive of the two, if you want to get into that defense right there. I also like Toronto, got an option there on my bench. I think, let's see here. Did you guys cover that one? With some rotations there at LAFC, Palencia, I believe, should be coming back in to start. 5.0 defender again.
International duty.
Pardon? Yes, because Campos, is, as I mentioned earlier, Campos on international duty, and I'm not 100% on Nashville scoring chops. So I think that's some good value right there. And Raposo over at Vancouver, I believe last week lined up as a forward. And give me a shot at an OOP forward, a defender who's playing at forward right there. I will throw that on my bench against RSL and see what happens. Vancouver, of course, plays that 7:30 game. So, again, if you have some players from LAFC that you want to put in your field and have a player like Raposo on your bench, that's what I have. I can see his score and I can know what I want to do if I want to force some autoroos or switcheroos or not right there. So I think you guys have covered a lot of the players there. It's going to be a strange one with defenses not being at their 100%, with keepers being gone, with attackers being missing. It's going to be a wild time for Because MLS. And so I think we'll have more clean sheets than we did last round, but I don't think this is going to be as huge defensive clean sheet landslide because of that, because I think it's going to be felt on that defensive side more. Going out to chat. Anelli for a price rise option being mentioned there. Raposo also being mentioned as taking some corner kicks.
There we go.
So yeah, set pieces.
How much is he?
6.6.
Raposo?
Yep. Not too bad. But yeah, O'Neal.
Assist last week as well.
Same thing. So yeah, so definitely some options there. I like matching up keepers. I mean, you look at like Rodriguez, I guess, with San Jose, if you're looking at going for players there as well. So definitely some options that you have at defense. Let's move over to midfielders now, starting with you, Ashley. Though I will take a moment first. I mentioned JFR in the previous segment when I was talking about injuries. Chastised in chat for using jargon. It just comes out sometimes. I'm sorry. It's Johnny Russell over with Sporting Kansas City. It's Johnny Russell. No. It's just Johnny Russell.
Okay.
It's just Johnny Russell. So
yeah, he's not in my team this week because he's hurt. But he was.
I apologize. Yes, he is a midfielder, which is why I mentioned it now, and I apologize for falling into a brief moment of jargon there. It away, Ashley.
I'm going super chalky. You'd think after this last week, maybe I'd spend some money on some defenders, make sure all my strikers were hot, not spend all my money in my midfield. But guess what I'm doing? Spending all my money in my midfield. So I have Heal this week, although for some reason he's the one that I'm the most hesitant about. I just do not like how New England looks. I don't like how New England looks. I don't like how he looks. But I'm doing it. I have Lucho. Lucho is a must for me this week, was the first person on my team. I would hear either Puj or Payne still. I have leaned Puj lately. That bit me this week, but I still did it. I have Evander, honestly, just based on that bonus point production that he had this past week and all of the rotation from Philly. Philly missing so many people. Now, Philly's kids are better than most teams' kids. I think that that's something that's important to note. That Philadelphia Academy, the kids that they bring up, the kids that come off their bench, they're good. They go play other places. They do well here. I still think that that rotation should be something Portland can take advantage of, but they're a team I always hesitate to bank on. But still, Evander made it into my lineup, and then I'm really doing the double dirty and going Espinoza, who hasn't fully popped yet this season. But I just think that the current state of the Seattle Sounders and a home match is something that is worth betting against, as hard as that is for me. Now, that would be my first tinker out because I turn into a little bit of a homer when I'm trying to save money. But if I'm trying to adjust something at some point, I think Espinoza would be my first midfielder out to someone a little less expensive. There are some really good, like $7 million, $8 million midfielders that are playing this week, but currently that is where I'm at.
Matt.
Yeah, I've got several of those as well, Ashley. I mean, I like you said, Lucho got to be the first one that you put on the list. That's, you know, the home matchup. He is just built for these categories. And if you watch the game at all, when he came in, I mean, he was incredible. I also have Heal, but I will say, watching New England play, and I don't know if this is a trend. We're going into week 5. It's still hard to tell exactly what's a trend and what's not. But New England just wasn't amazing, and I wonder if that's gonna cause possession problems even at home for them. Because Cincinnati, they were playing them off the pitch, especially once Lucho came in. And if you look at Heal's points, he's done better in away games where maybe he's hitting people on the counter or something like that. I don't know if that's going to be how New England is set up now. I don't know if y'all remember. I don't think it was last year, but maybe the year before when Atlanta was just playing poorly. And Almada was having a lot of trouble scoring, and he was kind of doing the same thing. He was having to come deep, which is what he did, you know, which is why he scored poorly in this past game, this past weekend. He was having to drop too deep to get the ball. Orlando was kind of depriving him of the ball, so he couldn't do as much, which is basically what was happening to Heal versus Cincinnati. Is he just wasn't getting the ball in a far enough attacking position to be able to really get those key passes and help create like he normally does. And so I'm partly wondering if that's just because New England just doesn't have that many great midfielders or defenders. You know, they've got a couple of good attackers, but other than that, I don't know how much possession they're going to keep in these games. So anyway, all that to say, I will be taking him, but that is something to watch moving forward with him. Evander, I'll give him a shot. Like, you can't argue if somebody's putting up those shot creating activities, which are kind of one of the metrics that I look at a lot, is, you know, what are they doing to create shots? Yeah. Because I think that's where a lot of the key passes are coming from, those type of activities. And so, I mean, Evander just has been blowing it out of the water the last couple of weeks, and so I think it's a decent matchup. I do want to throw out that Philly is got a lot of its defenders still there. I believe Elliott and Glesnes are still there, if I'm not mistaken. Wagner, so they've got most of their defenders still. Martinez being gone will obviously make a difference. Not having Blake will make a difference. Not having Gazdag in the attack will make a difference. But they still have Ura and Carranza. I think if Carranza's healthy, I think he played. So anyway, not going to be a super easy matchup, but I'm just going to go with the production of the last couple of games that Evander's had. Gold is going to be my fourth one, probably. He may get overlooked a little bit because he hasn't really done that much, but I really like that matchup. I think RSL is going to struggle a little bit, and Vancouver's just too good not to do well eventually. Eventually, they're going to turn a corner, and so I'm kind of hoping that it's going to be this week. And I think Gall is built for these new categories that we or these new scoring categories that we have. I mean, he likes to shoot. He's always playmaking and stuff like that. And so I think that's where I'm going to go with the fourth one. And then my fifth mid, I would love to have like a Puj Paintsill type. And I may eventually, but to get who I want in my lineup, Ashley, I'm doing a like a little bit of a cheaper mid for that spot. So that'll be the first one to either get scrubbed or to, you know, maybe upgrade depending on what's happening with my bench in the earlier game. So right now I have, I've thrown a couple of names around. There were some that were in Discord earlier. Ojeda from Orlando is one that got mentioned. 25 key passes in 4 games, and there weren't even 4 full games for him. And so If he can start shooting a little bit, Torres is out, so he's likely going to be taking some. I know Ladero's still there, but he's still going to be taking some free kicks and be involved. And they're due, right? I mean, they got to be home to Austin.
Can I throw two cheap midfielders out that I have forgot about please, that are they're road? Do. But while we're kind of shitting on New England, Kellen Acosta's on a price rise at 6'7", and Herbers, who has been a lot of people's bench price rise, is still only 7 mil and has risen 500,000 every week. So he's on a very consistent price rise. And again, it's a road team, but they're going to New England. And so if you're looking for cheap midfielders, those are two names. I don't know that Kellen Acosta is going to start the whole play the whole game, but those are some great value midfielders.
Yeah, that's definitely, and they're in that seven range. And yeah. Morgan's another one with Forsberg out. Maybe he gets and Tolkien, right? So yeah, that's Tolkien maybe more set pieces for him. Mm-hmm. He's closer to eight, I think. And then Tommy from SKC, I think, maybe has a chance. He hasn't done a whole lot, but surely he's due, right? So I don't know. He's kind of a little bit lower on my list, but he's around that eight mark that where if you want to go with a little bit of a cheaper midfielder and he's got pedigree in the league.
It's a home game for SKC too. I mean, they're playing the Galaxy, but still a home game for SKC, I think, is always a viable shout.
And Galaxy's giving up goals too. They're not just scoring them, they're giving them up. And so
one of their starting defenders got a red card. Casares got a red card too. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it fills in for him, but
yeah. So those are kind of what my thoughts are as far as mid.
I like it.
No.
A little bit of gambler's fallacy right there, though. No, same page for me. Heel, Lucho, Paints Hill, definitely in my lineup. Keeping an eye on Heel, of course, with that. Others after them, I'm looking at Evander. He's in my lineup right now because of those bonus points production, and I have him in line to be my Barrios now going forward. But I liked those last couple of games. I wish there was some more data to look at. But I'm willing to roll that dice going into this round with that matchup. Got Ojeda there on my bench just because looking at Orlando. Gold is definitely in the running for my number five spot for a midfielder. He's not had a lot of great production. And Vancouver had, three goals last week, and he wasn't involved in any of them, which... not what I want to see, but I know his pedigree's there. So I'm going to think more on that one throughout the week, read more of what other people are saying. But he's definitely there on my list of someone I'm going to keep an eye on. Lewis Morgan, probably definitely lower, sixth or seventh, maybe on my list of what I'm thinking about. Just had some good production. Going to be more of the target this week with some international absences, but a lot of missing pieces for New York. So I do worry about that. And of course, Espinoza on the list as well. He's been doing some good bonus point production. Shot numbers have been up this last game. Pretty much full strength San Jose right there going into the games this week against Seattle. So, and he's maybe getting some of that form that we saw last year. So I like Espinoza. If I don't go with Heel, after seeing what it looks like in the first game, because let's talk about Heel for a second.
Yeah,
I agree with everything that you're talking about, but this is a pick against Chicago.
True.
I mean, they've done okay sometimes with defense, but not been great with defense. Missing key player there with Shaqiri, and so I know both teams are going to be missing some players, but this is mostly a pick against Chicago. When we're looking at Heel.
Heel had an off week this week, but in the previous 3 weeks, he had a goal in two of those three games, and then he racked up five bonus points without a goal in the week he didn't score. Do you know what I mean? So, I'm not trying to quickly fade him, but this last round was so poor that it gave me pause. But I feel like that's what he's done the last, I'd say, two full seasons is, He'll drop a three, maybe a four, and then we're all like, oh, is he losing it? And then he doesn't, you know?
So I see that Herbers was mentioned in the chat, and
I mentioned him.
It was also mentioned in chat, and so I'm going to mention him again.
Yeah, do it.
He when I mentioned him last week, it was with a time of caution about that 11 falling off. And so a potential price fall. And that did not happen. He had a 0.5 increase. A lot of that based on the value that he is right now at a 7. Yeah.
Half a mil every week of the season.
And so he's gone up 2 million total. But this may be more of the expectation of what we're going to get from him, that 5-ish to, or 3 to 7 kind of points right there, depending on what he's playing for, 4 to maybe 7 if he gets a goal. So maybe 4 to 5 is more of a reasonable floor of what you might expect from him. And even for 7 million, is that what you want to pay? Is this 4 points what you're going for? So I definitely think he's a good value. He could be potential bench plays in the right situations. I don't know if on the road to New England is that situation. So that did see him in chat, and you did mention him, Ashley. I will mention that and own up to that. That's why I shied away from him. And he did increase 5 million, even with that 11 falling off. So
he produced, right? Didn't he get like a 7 or something?
I mean, he got 5. He got 5. He had a good amount of shots. He had good key passes, which key passes, he's been kind of flirting with decent numbers, okay. And he had some passes. So he has some respectable bonus points right there. So 4 points right there. He did get a yellow card, so minus 1 there. So he would have had 6. He would have had 6 points, but he got a yellow. But again, everybody got a yellow last week. So he just played. That's all it was. But yeah, very similar boat of who we're looking at right there. Let's move on to forward. So you're looking at Matt.
So, I mean, I gotta throw out Luis Suarez as the first name. He's obviously still got something left in the tank. I know we were all kind of wondering when he came into the league, and you hear about his knees and everything, and I mean, clearly he can do it without Messi in the lineup. So even if Messi doesn't play, I guess the question is whether he's going to start. I personally think he's going to start with a week off in between. Like, I just think he'll start. I think it's a great early game. I'll probably play him from the bench just because he's an early game, and give him a shot. He's expensive. I mean, this is, again, another week that I wish we could take, you know, like 5 forwards or 6 forwards instead, right? Just because I really like a lot of the matchups. I think some of the guys are, have a really good opportunity to put in some goals. And so, but I think I know it's a way, but no Coronel, no Tolkien. I'm not sure what others, if any of their central defenders are out. Red Bull's missing several guys. And so just after seeing what they did away last week, I don't know. It's kind of like, do we leave him out at our own risk? So he's right now, he's on my bench. So I will say that. And then obviously Cucho. I mean, we covered that a little bit earlier, but there's not really a whole lot of matchups in which I wouldn't take him at this point. He shoots the ball. He's the playmaker. Like, he's basically Zella and himself rolled into one, basically. Like, he's doing the playmaking, but he's also scoring the goals. And so it's, I don't know. He's with this cool hybrid player. And it's just great for fantasy is what it is. And so he's consistent so far. And so I think you got to have him in the lineup, and I'll be starting him.
Yeah.
And then my last spot is probably going to be, I've gone back and forth, and it depends on who I'm going to be able to scrub and if I'm going to be able to upgrade, but I'll probably choose somebody between the Brian White, Alan Pulido type range, around that 8 mark. I really like both of their matchups as far as who they're playing against. Bawanga, if I can fit him in, maybe as that spot, just depending on who I'm end up able to scrub. I might scrub a mid and then just use that money and upgrade White to Bawanga for the late game, because I think he's due, honestly. Surely they're not going to be that bad. we'll see in a few weeks if I'm right or not, but I just think they're too good. I think Bawanga's too good a player. I think he's got a good floor. And so those are the type of players that I'm looking at for that third spot. I also wanted to throw out a couple. I think the Italians from Toronto might be good shots, good punts against Atlanta, especially Insigne. And then João Klaus, I'll throw that out there against DC. Had some decent bonus points this past week. And so while I'm not all in on St. Louis because Lewin is out, you know, he's a cheaper option. He's like 7. And so if you're looking for some budget, that's a good way to do it.
Ashley.
And don't be afraid to captain.
That's the next section.
Don't be afraid. I'm not. I also have Cucho. The way that I describe him when I've been talking about him in my household is he's like a 10-9. Like mm-hmm. he'll play as almost like a 10 and a 9. And I just love watching him. He's so fun. And it's very productive for how these points are working in our league now for sure. And like I said, he's producing. He was first on my team. And then honestly, the next striker on my team was Jovalich from LA Galaxy. Has it been 2 years? Or was it at least last season? I would say often on this podcast, why isn't he starting? He would come in so many games last year and score or assist. Why is he not starting? Well, this year he's starting and he's scoring and he's currently in form. It's a road game, but it's Sporting Kansas City, which is not a team that I bet highly against defensively, even at home. Bet highly on defensively, even at home. And he's already scored 2 road goals this season, says Tyler, who is never wrong about stats. So I think that, I hear you, Matt, with the, you know, like Brian White could be due, Bwanga hasn't scored. I'm going back and forth between Bwanga and Suarez to be fair, but Jovalich to me is in form. So I'd like to ride that hot hand one more week against a medium defensive team, just to see. He is expensive, right? Like if you're trying to save money on a striker, he is also, you know, in the 9 million range. And so that's not exactly cheap, but I think that he's definitely someone worth paying attention to. And then I absolutely agree about Luis Suarez. Sorry, Jovalich is 10. I was the first person to say, I want to see how he does. And I think the first 2 rounds, I was like, not making that much of an impact. Not really doing much. Not like how Messi doesn't move around, but like Suarez, he just wasn't really doing much. He has turned it on. I almost feel like he's punking everyone, not just in MLS, but in the world, with all of his talk about his knees, all the shots, and he has 2, you know, 3 games really, because it was the first round, which was 2 games, and then the next game, which is kind of like nothing. And then now he's just clicked, and it is working, and he gets it. And so I agree that that is something that it's, to me, it's a little unfortunate that that game's so early, because I'd like to see other lineups before I decide if I want Suarez, if that makes sense. But for me, I'm going back and forth between Bwanga and he, and they're 2 completely different ends of the timeline. So I'm not sure where I'll land. I like them both. I will never bet against Denis Bwanga. Not now, not never. I think that at home against Nashville is a great shout for him. It's just a later game, if that makes sense. And so I don't know if I'll end up getting there before I throw another striker on my team. So it also feels weird to bench a striker, but that's where I'm at. I can't play all 3. It just doesn't feel right. So those are who I'm looking at. I think there's a lot of other good options, but those 4 names are where I'm at right now.
Again, if we're looking at history, the dream team has been comprised of 4-4-2s. It's not been had a 3 striker week in any of the dream teams. So
yep.
Just saying. So you guys have named off almost everybody, I would say. I mean, Jovalich hard to pass up with that consistency right there. The only one that I would add to that is probably Bupinza, from who you've talked about. Minutes managed last couple of rounds because of the Champions Cup games. I'd like to see what he looks like coming back, getting more time than he has before with Lucho right there. But yeah, Bulanga, Suarez, Bupenza, Cucho, the only one for sure in my lineup right now. Also, I guess there's some questions again. We've talked a lot about New England today and some of the general questions that we have about them. But they've got a forward who's been getting some key passes, been getting some shots. Thomas Chankley, he's not been getting goals, and that's the bad thing about him. But he's going up against a Chicago, and so I mean he got 13 key passes against Atlanta, 8 against Cincinnati, 7. He's had at least 5 shots in each of the games that he's had so far. So definitely a risk, but a name that I wanted to throw out there, since it could be someone that's on your bench and you take a flyer and just see what happens against Chicago.
And in his favor as well, he's hit the crossbar twice well, in 2 straight games. So like he's getting in good positions and he's super active. So I agree, Reed. That's a nice another. I believe he's below 8. So that's still a nice punt, especially for like a bench early game.
Yeah.
That's a nice job. Nice
Can thing. I throw out from chat here that Tyler's saying that both Bupenza and Bwanga are not for sure not leaving on international duty because Gabon hasn't released a roster yet, or we don't see one yet at least, and they both play for them. So just put a pin in both those names just in case.
That'll make it easier. Go watch 2024. We'll see what happens. No. Great tip. Thank you, Tyler, for sharing that. And thank you for mentioning it, Ashley. Asterisk next to that one, depending on what. I mean, there's a lot of the week left, everyone. With this podcast is going to go up either tonight or Tuesday-ish. So there's a lot of the week left to see what happens with internationals. Please do check back to the Mega Reference to see what is there, because as that gets confirmed, we will be sure to keep that updated. Let's wrap everything else up with our captain picks. Ashley.
Lucho.
Matt.
Lucho.
And I agree, the hat trick for captains, Lucho right there, just been, I mean, you all can correct, add anything else, just been so consistent, seemingly regardless of the minutes that he has in 3 of his 4 games. He has scored at least 8 points, with the 4-point game against DC being kind of a head scratcher with that one, but just so consistent with what he's going out there. And as you mentioned, Matt, the point system seems to be working for him. But yeah, easy captain for me.
I have no faith in NYCFC. So they've just not looked great. Ashley, we talked about that a little bit earlier, but I think it's coaching, honestly. I think the talent's there. I think it's coaching, but all that to say, they haven't really found themselves, or they are trying to. And I don't know if an away game at one of the best teams in the league is where that's going to happen.
Okay. Number two for me is Cucho. I mean, that's kind of where it is right now. If I decide not to do Acosta, I mean, I think Cucho is a great fallback captain, or primary captain, if you want to go with that one. I completely understand if that's what you want to go with, but he does play at 7:30. So you're going to have to pick between the two of them at that time at some point. But who would you guys have as your number two captain pick?
Cucho.
Okay. Are we hat trick it? All right. Double hat trick. It happens here, but not in real life.
Not in real life. Not back to back. Never.
Not back to back, but here, absolutely for sure. Looking over at chat. Yeah. Chat's Lucho, Cucho, Evander. Scott, interesting. Oh. Evander's a captain. Differential for sure. So that would be.
I could see somebody throwing in a Suarez. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would definitely be. That's what Tate just said. Suarez? Question mark. So we'll see. ACC. I like that for always Captain Cucho. Always or just always? Is that always Captain Cho?
Ucho? I think it should be Cucho. ACU. Always Captain Anucho.
And Ucho. Always Captain Ucho. So that can work. So we'll go with that. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us tonight for this episode. It's been fun to be able to catch up after this wild week, with hope it's going to be a little bit more as we would hope for, or at least better scores in the coming round. So let's wrap everything else up with our plugs, Matt.
Yeah, at Soccer Down Here. Everything Southern Atlanta based soccer. They do frequent like podcasts and Twitch streams and stuff like that. Also want to shout out Jason Wright from the Wright Agency. We've been doing some player picks each week. And so just want to shout him out and the community. Love it. Having fun.
Ashley.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the community, and not just the people, but also the resources that the people provide, especially on a week like this. I think it's super important to make sure, you know, you're checking in on Discord, you're looking at the rosters, and you're interacting with everyone to make sure that you know exactly what's going on, because this is going to be a weird week.
And as for myself, all the usual MLS Fantasy Boss Network plugs, MLSFantasyBoss.com with our articles, with, of course, this podcast, the differentials up there, the Discord player poll, and the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord in general, the best fantasy community on the internet for you to go and hang out and just chat, talk about fantasy, talk about general MLS stuff. And it's just a great community to have. You can find out how to join at MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord. And with Baby Roo feeling better, I hope to be back to the regular posting schedule this week. So appreciate the kind words during last week with Baby Roo. And happy to still get some content out that's helpful for everyone as we go forward. So we will see what happens with this next week. So as always, good luck.